Chapter 4, Reading, pages 62 and 63. The Body Shop.
The cosmetics industry is involved in selling dreams. It promises to make you younger and more beautiful. It promises that all your dreams will come true. If you use a certain type of shampoo or face cream. These dreams are sold to customers by persuasive and expensive advertising campaigns. Pictures of youthful girls are used to sell anti-aging creams to 50-year-old women. The products are presented in carefully designed packaging, which itself may double the product's cost. The cosmetics industry wants to be sure that the products are not harmful. It does not want a customer to be poisoned by a lipstick or blinded by a new type of eye makeup. If a product causes harm, the customer is likely to sue the company for millions of dollars. To avoid this, many cosmetic products are tested on animals to ensure that they are harmless. In some countries, the government actually orders the producers to test their products on animals. These painful tests include force feeding, injections, applying the product to the skin, or dripping it into the eyes of the helpless animals. The customers, of course, are not permitted to see this side of the business. In this way, selling safe products with beautiful packaging and backed by powerful advertising, the cosmetics industry pursues its single aim, which is to make money. And then came the body shop. In 1976, an amazing unconventional woman called Anita Roddick decided to open a small shop in England. She ignored all the accepted principles of the cosmetics industry. And yet her shop prospered from day one. The body shop now has over 700 shops worldwide. And her company has revolutionized the industry. Anita wanted to sell simple, natural products for the skin and hair. She thought it was immoral to make false promises about the qualities of her cosmetics. And so she explained the qualities and limitations of each product in simple, truthful language. She banned images of beautiful women in her shops and promoted health, not beauty. She thought that cosmetics should not be tested on animals, and so she refused to sell such products. The body shop has campaigned against animal testing and funded research into alternative ways of testing that new products are safe. She thought that packaging was unimportant. When some customers asked if they could refill their old bottles, she let them. This led to a refilling and recycling service, which is unique in the cosmetics industry. In every shop, there is a refill bar, at which customers are allowed to refill their old bottles, thus savest. It is remarkable that the body shop has become a true global business. Without ever spending any money on advertising. At first, Anita attracted wide publicity by explaining her views, and later by holding pro-environment campaigns. These helped the causes which she supported, and also publicized the body shop. All staff are encouraged to take part in local campaigns and to believe that profits, although important, are not the only aim of a business.
Integrated Skills, page 67.
Exam tasks. Task 1. Listen to the recording and complete the outline.
Good afternoon and welcome to Small Beginnings, the program in which we talk to top people in business and find out about how they got started. Today's guest is Roland Lee, the founder and managing director of the Friendly Chemist chain, which now has over 100 shops throughout the world. Roland, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Lucy.
So, going right back to the beginning, how did it all start for you? I believe your father had a chemist shop too.
Yes, that's right. My parents came to Manchester in 1960, when I was 10. At first, they worked in the fast food trade. But later, my father started a traditional Chinese medicine shop. There are a lot of Chinese people in Manchester, so he was quite successful.
Did your parents want you to join them in that business?
No. They wanted me to go to university. I studied biochemistry. And then after that, I got a job in America as a research scientist, working for a big drugs company. But I found that some of my work involved testing medicines on animals, and I didn't like that because I'm very fond of animals. After a couple of years, I couldn't stand it anymore, and so I left.
And was that when you decided to open your first shop?
Oh, no. I just drifted around for several years. I had lots of strange jobs. I worked for a while as a laboratory assistant in a university. And I did some teaching. I worked in a supermarket and even as a taxi driver. And then I got married.
What did your parents think of all this, Roland?
Well, they were rather disappointed. They wanted me to be a big success, but I was just going around in circles. And they weren't very pleased when I married Jane. Anyway, it was Jane who had the first idea for the Friendly Chemist, really. One day we were talking about my time in America, and I was telling her about when I had to do those experiments on animals.
we realize that when you go into a chemist to buy some medicine, you don't know whether or not it has been tested on animals. You just don't know. So then Jane suggested it would be a good idea if there was a chemist shop where you could go in and you could be sure that none of the medicines had been tested on animals.
So that was the start of it?
Yes. We decided to start such a business ourselves. I had to do a lot of research about the different medicines, but after a few months we had enough products to start the shop. Some were Western medicines, but we also included some traditional Chinese medicines. But we had two main principles for every product. Nothing was tested on animals, and nothing was made from animal products. And a few years later, we added a third principle. None of our products could come from rare or endangered plants.
So, when and where did you actually open your first shop?
That was back in 1980, Lucy, in Manchester.
And was it successful immediately?
Yes, it was. We were very surprised, in fact. But it seems that lots of people cared about animals, and they were pleased to choose a medicine from our shop. So we were quite busy from the first week. 1 year later, we opened our second shop in London, and it just grew from there.
Speaking, pages 74 and 75.
A. Saying numbers and dates. Long numbers. In long numbers, put and between the hundreds and tens. 3,458. In reading a long number, the usual intonation pattern is that your voice goes up before the commas and down at the end. 3,550,640. Decimals. We say point and then each number separately. 7, 2, 5. 22.22. 10.005. Percentages. We read percentages as per cent. 27%. 8.25%. Money. We say the name of the currency after the numbers.
5 million yuan.
27,000 US dollars. 39 million pounds. Dates. We write 4th May. But we say the 4th of May. Remember to pronounce the th sound clearly at the end of words, such as 5th, 10th, and 26th. The 11th of December, 1993. Exercise A2. 1.
Worldwide, about 70 million animals are killed each year for their fur.
2.
Tests on 9 owl monkeys in the United States may lead to a cure for malaria, which kills an estimated 1,200,000 children in Acre every year.
3.
The first body shop opened on the 27th of March, 1976. The first day's sales were £130. The trading profit in the 6 months up to the 31st of August 1991 was £10,480,000. There were then 658 shops. And a customer walked into a shop somewhere in the world every 0.7 seconds.
4. Ladies and gentlemen, I am pleased to report that last year our company, Lucky Pet Food Limited, made a profit of $629,051. This was an increase of 37.89% compared with the previous year. We sold 37,850,000 packets of dog biscuits compared with 29,050,000 packets last year. Dog biscuits account for 48.84% of all sales.
More language input 4, pages 79 and 80. A. Reading. Merits and demerits of packaging. In our modern society, we have to rely on different kinds of services. Packaging is just one of them. Without packaging, many goods, especially food, could not reach consumers. Packaging prevents perishable food from early spoilage. As a result, it prolongs shelf life and makes distribution possible to a greater distance. The function of waste reduction is also evident in food packaging. According to a scientific report, food wastage can be as high as between 20% and 50% in some areas because of poor or lack of packaging. Appropriate packaging can cut this number down to only 2 to 3%. It is every 1% increase in packaging materials. Food wastage decreases by about 1.6%. Apart from practical functions, modern packaging also has aesthetic value. Goods are made more attractive and inviting. And for the consumers, this makes shopping more enjoyable. However, the service of packaging does not always enjoy a good reputation. Sometimes, people cannot help but feel puzzled by the enormous packaging of some goods, which often prove to have nothing to do at all with the protection of the goods inside. Such packaging can only lead to misunderstanding and waste of money on the goods. And more seriously, it can cause a great deal of damage to the environment. Perhaps it is difficult to decide whether the service of packets or demerits. It seems quite obvious that modern packaging, to a certain extent, reflects the energy of the people or company who produce the products. B. Listening.
Consumers should follow these precautions to protect themselves and the quality of their cosmetics. 1. Keep the containers of skin protection products tightly closed except when in use. 2. Keep the products out of sunlight. Light can degrade their quality. 3. Don't use eye cosmetics if you have an eye infection. And throw away all products you were using when you first discovered the infection. 4. Never add any liquid to bring the product back to its original state. Adding water could introduce bacteria that could easily grow out of control. 5. Never share your cosmetics. 6. Throw the cosmetics away if the color changes or an odor develops.